And then he says again, here it is one more time, rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. I love this about when I read the Psalms, because for those of us who are kind of ADHD, that's kind of the way we are. God, I need you to help me, but I believe you're a faithful God. You know, we're all vacillating back and forth. And that's kind of the way we are in this relationship with God some days. And David's the same way. He says, I entrust my spirit into your hand, but I need you to rescue me. For you are a faithful God. David's writings reaffirm the important truth that devoted followers of Jesus Christ need in their life and need to come to grips with. That just because that we've taken this, we take God serious, we devote our lives to God, we decide we're going to live lives that honor Him, we also have to come to understand that that doesn't mean that life may not have some difficulty. And I just see in David, I see myself so often. That's why I talked about last week, the emotional connection that you can find when you read through these. You see David writings, his vacillation between great anguish and great confidence. Here David is writing about never being want to be put to shame or ever experiencing embarrassing moments or those moments when you stick your foot in your mouth. I did this week. I had my foot stuck in my mouth so bad. Don and I are sitting down out here at the garage sale. And I look at Don and I said, can you believe somebody brought paint up here? And he goes, I did that. And I'm like, you know, I had my foot stuck in my mouth. And I was like, oh, now I'm going to get myself out of this. You know, even in the best of our intentions, you know, even when we pray, God, please never let me experience embarrassing moments or that I would ever be ashamed publicly or stick my foot in my mouth. The writer of the song, if you know anything about his life, he had public moments of shame. And public moments of humiliation and public moments of being exposed. And yet, for the fact for his moral failures and for all the things that he didn't do right, I thrill when I read about him with all of his flaws that he's referred to still in the scripture as a man after God's own heart. And then the New Testament is referred to as somebody who fulfilled the purposes of God in his generation. It gives me comfort to know that God uses flawed individuals. And David looks to the Creator God for this ultimate, as it were, God, I need you to clear the slate. I want there to be this public vindication of the truth. I'm looking for righteous judgment, for you to clear up all the misconceptions, set the record straight, that things would be transparently clear, that the tables would be turned on those who are attacking me, who distort the truth, that they would be exposed. And some days we find ourselves in those situations. And in those moments, we need a firm place to stand. When it feels like we're experiencing our own personal earthquake. And when David writes about, I entrust my spirit into your hand, it's kind of like his own personal declaration of surrender. God, I trust you. And I trust your plan for my life. And again, David's kind of this ADHD writer. And in verse 6, he goes, I hate those who worship worthless idols. Expresses his own frustration with those who trust in other gods other than Yahweh. But notice the one thing that he does say, while he doesn't appreciate, frustrated with those who don't, he says, I trust in God. And he says, in a previous older translation, the King James, he says, I've hated those who regard useless idols, the idea that they would pay attention to them, to heed instruction from them, to treasure them, to preserve them. Those false gods who are worshiped rather than the Creator, that David says, this is who I trust in. Throughout the Psalms, you read through David's determination that he's not going to participate with those that don't regard the Creator God. Because I think David took God serious. He had been brought up as one who would observe the law and the prophets. One of the early things on that, you know, the big out of the Big Ten, you know, that we all say we live by the Ten Commandments. When God would say, don't take my name in vain. And what God was saying is, don't reduce my name to nothingness, worthlessness, emptiness, triviality. And David says, I'm not going to participate in that. My trust is in God. I take him serious. In verse 5, he says, I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Well, this is a common theme for David, because he understands, as you read through his writings, that he understands that you'll be happier many times over if you don't. In Psalm 1, in the very first song, you open up the Old Testament book of Psalms. The first thing that David says, you'll be happy many times over. Notice what he says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Happy many times over is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it day and night. David, in verse 6, makes this declaration, I trust in the Lord. That's what we talk about our mission is here, that we are here leading people to trust God. And the reason we say that is because most people don't. Now, there's a lot of people believe in a higher power, and they may believe that there is, you know, a creator and there's a God, but they've never come to this place in their life where they trust him with everything. And sometimes you may get to the point, like I have at times in my life, the only thing left you're reduced to is just that. God, I'm going to trust you. I think about in the book that precedes the Old Testament songbook, Psalms, the story of a man named Job. He goes through all kinds of adversity and even gets to the point where he says, God, even if you kill me, I'm still going to trust you. In verse 7, David says, I'll be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love. For you've seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul. In verse 8, he says, you have not handed me over to my enemies, but have set me in a safe place. In verse 9, he says, have mercy on me again. I know who you are, and I know what you can do, but now I need you to, back in verse 9, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. Here he is, like we sometimes can be. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. In verse 10, he says, I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin, oh. Here, I got to confess. Time for some confession. Sin has drained my strength, and I am wasting away from within. In verse 11, he says, I am scorned by my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. And when they see me on the street, they run the other way. Verse 12, he says, I'm ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot. Verse 13, he just moves on to this. He said, I've heard many rumors about me. Don't you love those moments? People are talking about you, as my mother would say, well, they're giving somebody else a rest. I'm surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life. Here we come back to verses 14 and 15. God, this is all the stuff that's going on. But he says again, I am trusting you. Oh, Lord, saying, you are my God, and my future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly and
Contrary to what others might do or what others might expect in these circumstances, David declares, I'm not going to despair. I will trust the hand of God. And it's not this simplistic fatalism that kind of like we used to hear Doris Day saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. It's not that kind of simplistic fatalism, but it is this perspective that he rests in the character and the purposes of God. And so in verse 6, and he says, let your favor shine on your servant. And there it is. He comes back to this point in your unfailing love. Rescue me. Verse 17, he says, don't let me be disgraced, O Lord, for I call out to you for help. He looks to the Creator God to vindicate him, to set the record straight. And yet he finishes, you get down to verse 21, and he finishes the song with praise. In verse 21, he says, praise the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders, here it is again, of his unfailing love. He kept me safe when my city was under attack. In verse 22, in panic, I cried out to the Lord, I am cut off from the Lord. But he says, but you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help. David is shown grace and favor by the Creator God in an astounding, unexpected way. Overwhelmed by such favor, David offers praise and gratitude. In verse 23, as he kind of finishes up, he says, love the Lord, all you godly ones. For the Lord protects those who are loyal to him, but he harshly punishes the arrogant. In verse 24, he says, so be strong and courageous, all you who put hope in the Lord. David finishes his song with, you love God too. I love the Lord. You love him too. You trust in him too at all times. Trust in his unfailing love. Trust in his protection. Trust him when he leads you in places you've never been before. Trust him all the way he leads you, because he will always lead you in the right path. And when I read those words that David says at the end there in Psalm 31:24, be strong and courageous, maybe he thought of those words that he had been taught from the story after Moses dies and Joshua takes over to lead God's people into the promised land. Because what did he tell Joshua? You're going someplace you've never been before. And he tells him to be what in Joshua chapter 1? Don't be afraid or discouraged. He told him to be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. David knows God's going to lead us in the right path. That's why I trust him. And while I pray, and God help me, rescue me, save me, that's why David says, I trust in him. Even in Psalm 23, David came to realize that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Sometimes people walk through our doors in times of desperation, just like David. And what I want you to understand is that you aren't the first. When we find ourselves in places just like David, when we cry out, God, please rescue me. And while it doesn't feel like a very good place, or a place you would aspire to be, often you will discover it's exactly the best place you could ever be. In this place, you will discover what David is, that you can trust God, you can lean into his strength, and you can rely on his unfailing love. If you search for God in those moments that he seems distant, you will find him. For I remind you of those words, that in those desperate times when you cry out like David did, God, please rescue me. Yeah, I trust you, but I need you to rescue me. I love you. I lean unto your unfailing love. In those moments when God seems distant, if you walk through these doors,
in those days of desperation, if you seek him, you will find him. As I remind you, as I finish up this morning, those words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Speaking in God's behalf to people that had wandered far from God, he reminded them, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. You're in one of those places like David found himself, where you cried out for God to rescue you. I hope you'll find that in him, that he's somebody you can trust, that he's a safe place, that he's that place, that rock, that when you experience your own personal earthquakes, it's the place that never moves, that place of safety and comfort, protection, strength and courage in him, David, who he referred to as his rock. And I hope he's yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words that David penned that remind us of all those characteristics about you, who you are, your nature, your character, that you're someone that we can trust, that we can depend on, that you're someone that is can be a place of safety that we can run to when in times of trouble, a place that we can go to where everything else changes. That you're just our rock. And so I pray today, if there's somebody here that's having one of those moments like David had, that they would find out that they can trust you. They can rely on your unfailing love. And I pray that they would learn this important thing that David learned, to trust you. Particularly for their eternal destiny, because none of us are perfect. All of us are flawed. And I thank you for your son, Jesus, that we can put our hope and confidence in and our trust for the hope of eternal life. If there's somebody here that hasn't, I pray they would. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Why don't you stand with me?
And everything you hold in your hands, so you take time for me, I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful is your unfailing love. Unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One. And my unfailing love, unfailing love. And everything you hold in your hand, still you take time for me, I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful is your unfailing love. Unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One. In my unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love.
Well, again, I'm so glad you were here. If there's anybody here that would like somebody to talk to pray with when we get finished this morning, I'm always around at the end of the service, or we can even find a time to get together to visit. Happy Father's Day again to all of our dads. We appreciate all you do, the leadership, direction that you bring to our families. Have a great day. Come back next Sunday. Bring somebody with you.
We had a special request.
We did?
Yeah, we're supposed to sing a special song today. Sandy and I have been friends with Randy for 130 years this year. Okay.
Combined?
I think, honestly, I think 40 years. I'm like 40 or 41 years. And I'll just be honest and say 20 years ago today, we had a special party for this man. And we celebrated his 40th birthday. But it really wasn't his 40th birthday. It was just his 39th birthday. So I'll never be able to get over that. He was so kind and gracious, he never said a word. But we had a request to sing a special song, so ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Randy. Happy birthday to you.
Father's Day, birthday. Brock got off easy today, didn't he?
Yes. Somebody asked me how old I was, and the easiest answer is I'm one shy of 60. Oh. So how's that? All right. Well, let's finish up with a song as we go out this morning. Come back next week. Bring somebody with you, all right? Sing it with me as we go out.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.